Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Half past five on Manx Radio. Good evening. This is Update, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch and travel updates, and the newsmakers in person, including tonight the government funding to make your house green. The HE weighs in on Tynwald influence on Crown appointments, inflation on the island has fallen, a new pool at Castle Russian School, and another one just down the road. If you fancy taking up squash, tonight's the night, and yes, pigs do fly in California.
And Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, the news headlines. Faster My, Dolan Mercer.
Faster My. Ronald's Way Met Office has issued a yellow weather warning for severe gales overnight and into tomorrow morning. It's expected to affect the whole island from 1 a.m. until 11 a.m. Tonight's steam packet sailings to and from Heysham have been cancelled, with winds predicted to reach severe gale force 9 in the Irish Sea later. The Attorney General has thrown his weight behind a change that he says would underline the separation of the prosecution function from the executive. John Quinn, giving evidence to a Tynwald Standing Committee this morning, said he agreed with the recently published Wooler report, which suggested a change in the relationship between the Director of Prosecutions and the AG should be examined. And MHK wants to know what plans government has to improve taxi licensing on the Isle of Man. Ramsay member Laurie Hooper will bring the subject up in the House of Keys tomorrow. And police are appealing for information after a distinctive mountain bike was stolen in the north of the island. The blue and yellow Boardman FFX Pro bike was taken from Ramsay Youth Club on Waterloo Road between 8 and 8:30 p.m. on Friday. Further afield, a Chinese industrial giant has signed a deal to rescue British Steel, saving up to 4,000 jobs. Jingye says it will invest £1.2 billion in the business over the next decade. Nigel Farage has potentially handed Boris Johnson a general election boost. He's dropped plans to stand Brexit Party candidates in more than half of the 600 constituencies he'd targeted. Those are the headlines. More at 6. Mish Dolan Mercer, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or follow us on Facebook.
Well, you heard the news from Dolan. The steam packet tonight is off, and the reason for that is the weather.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
The news from Ronald's Way Met Office. There's a severe gale warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours, and on land a yellow warning for severe gales as well right across the island. The adverse conditions are expected to affect the Isle of Man from 1 o'clock tomorrow morning through until at least 11 o'clock. So from 01 hours until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. After dark tonight, showers will be frequent with winds touching severe gale force, gusting up to 60 miles an hour. The overnight minimum temperature 6 degrees, but it won't feel much like that in the winds. For Tuesday, Jemert, wet and windy to kick off with. The winds will start to ease as the showers become scattered from late morning. 9 degrees top temperature. And Wednesday, Jacren, dry with light breezes and rain later. 7 degrees Wednesday's top temperature. The all-important note for tonight, from 1 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock, a yellow weather warning for severe gales on the island. Sunset this evening at 26 minutes past 4, rises in the morning at 20 to 8. Low water was about half an hour ago. High water tonight is at 12 minutes to 11. The overnight low tide, 9 minutes past 5, and tomorrow morning's high water at 11 minutes past 11.
If you have failed double glazing units, Manx Glass and Glazing can help. Call 674 573.
Manx residents earning less than £29,000 a year can apply for government funding to make their homes more green. Loft insulation, LED bulbs and water tank upgrades are among the improvements the Energy Efficiency Scheme will contribute towards. But only a handful of people have taken advantage of the scheme in its first year. So the Ramsay MHK, Laurie Hooper, is asking what can be done to make the funding appeal to a wider audience. Ahead of this week's sitting of the House of Keys, he's been speaking to Manx Radio's Sean Cowper.
Well, the scheme, when it was launched, seemed like a really good idea, helping people buy loft insulation or improve the energy efficiency of their homes. The problem with the scheme, though, is it's got quite low income thresholds and it's quite restrictive as to the sort of things they can support. It's quite restrictive by the looks of things anyway as to the amount of money that is on offer. And the reason I feel quite comfortable saying this is the scheme was running for a full year, and in the first year of its operation it managed to give out 3 grants to 2 different people, and that was it. Not the most successful energy efficiency scheme in the world. And now we have the climate emergency has been declared, and actually there are real issues, I think, with sort of fuel poverty on the island, people who are struggling to keep their homes at an acceptable level of warmth. And so this scheme could be a really fantastic way of helping people better insulate their homes, air tightness tests, all that kind of stuff, to lower fuel bills and make sure people are living in comfortable warm homes that aren't costing them the earth to heat. And so there's a real opportunity that I think has been missed by government. So now that we know that it's been operating for over a year, it hasn't had any degree of success. My question for the Environment Minister is, what changes is he making or has he made to make it work? And what is he doing to encourage people to take up the scheme? And if there are problems with the scheme structurally, fundamentally, is he going to make those changes going forwards?
Well, one of your questions is specifically about the means testing principles. Are you concerned that it isn't consistent with what is happening across government?
I actually am. So in October, Tynwald approved a set of high-level means testing principles, one of which was no cliff edges, so that we shouldn't have any kind of support systems in place where they say as soon as you hit a threshold, you get nothing. Things should be gradually reduced so that people, as their income goes up, the support available kind of drops down gradually, so that no one is left with this, I'm £1 over the threshold, so I've got nothing, but if I was £1 under the threshold, I'd get the full grant. At least it would be measured. And there are a number of government schemes, including the Energy Efficiency Scheme and the Housing Adaptation Scheme that was approved last month, that don't look like they comply with this gradual reduction approach, that instead they seem to be very much a cliff edge model. And so my question to the various ministers is actually, now that we have these principles, do the schemes that your departments are running, do they comply with these principles? And if not, what are you going to do about it?
You touched on the low uptake for this scheme as well. Given that there have been so few people coming forward and taking advantage of this, do you think it needs more work done to promote it, or are people just not interested?
I think promotion is one thing, and the department have gone out recently and said, the scheme is available, make access of it. But the feedback I'm getting from people is that either the income thresholds are too low, so they fall just outside them and so they aren't eligible, or when it comes to the support available, the amount of money the individual has to put up themselves, it means that's prohibitive. So really, I think the whole scheme needs to be looked at to say, why aren't people accessing it? Is it just awareness? Is it just people weren't aware of the scheme? Or is it deeper problems with the scheme itself?
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 22 minutes before 6. This is Manx Radio live from the Isle of Man. I'm Andy Wint. And to see what's happening out at sea, well, the news you may have heard in the news headlines today, the Ben will not sail tonight.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
In fact, the Ben has yet to arrive, I think, in Douglas. Her scheduled departure at 7:45 this evening to Heysham due to the adverse weather forecast has been cancelled. If you're supposed to be on board, you will have received one of their texts, but if you need to contact reservations, it's 661-661 to amend your booking. Obviously, no Ben McCree this evening to Heysham means no overnight return sailing at 2:15 from Heysham to the Isle of Man. That sailing normally brings in the newspapers. Be tuned to Manx Radio tomorrow morning and Chris Williams first thing in the morning, and Ben and Alex will tell you whether Whites have managed to get the papers to the Isle of Man. At the moment, no sailing to Heysham and no overnight sailing back.
Sailings for 2020 are now available, with more than 900,000 special offer seats available during the year. Manx Radio's Update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Paragraph 4 of the May 2005 report sets out the view of the Department of Constitutional Affairs.
The voice of John Quinn. John Quinn has been called to give evidence on his role as the Constitutional Legal Affairs and Justice Committee. It's chaired by MLC Jane Poole Wilson. And the story is the Attorney General's told the Tynwald Committee that, in his opinion, greater Tynwald representation in the appointment of Crown officers would be useful. The Attorney General is currently a Crown appointment. But he pointed out the concerns felt about the AG being appointed solely by politicians. John Quinn had been called to give evidence to that Legal Affairs and Justice Committee. He spoke, amongst other things, during the questioning of cracked trials, of progress into the examination and use of legal aid and procurement training for departments. But he started his evidence with an overview of his role in what is a Crown appointment. He's given the job, with a vice, of course, by the Queen.
Paragraph 4 of the May 2005 report sets out the view of the Department of Constitutional Affairs in the United Kingdom, which is now the Ministry of Justice, explaining that if the Attorney General were to be appointed by someone other than Her Majesty, the role would necessarily cease to be a Crown appointment and thus would cease to be a Crown officer. The Department of Constitutional Affairs, now the Ministry of Justice, identified the following aspects of the Attorney General's role, which raised particular issues in relation to the Crown. Firstly, the giving of advice to the Crown, and that is, of course, to Her Majesty as Lord of Man. Secondly, exercising functions under UK legislation, such as initiating proceedings in the courts here, and the example I have there is under the Immigration Act, which are applied to the island by ordering counsel. And then finally, and importantly, prosecuting on behalf of the Crown. They also raised a concern that the Attorney General's independence could be potentially undermined if he was not appointed by the Crown. I point out, and I would make this as an example, albeit I'm sure we would all agree it would never apply here, and that is, if appointed by politicians, a Crown officer could be removed by politicians, which in a few overseas territories has resulted in the Crown having to exercise reserve powers to secure and maintain good government. And I emphasise that I can't imagine that circumstance ever arising here. But it is perhaps understandable that the UK Department raised that as a concern. The review of the law officers in Jersey, to which I've referred to, whilst preserving the role of Crown officers, did, however, interestingly, make recommendations concerning the membership of the recommending panel for the appointment of law officers, in our case, the Crown officers, in that they considered the panel ought to be augmented by the addition of two members appointed by the states. I consider the addition of a member or two of Timwald appointed by Timwald to join the Chief Minister on the recommending panel alongside the First Deemster and the President would be a useful step, adding to the transparency of the process of recommendation and helping to ensure that the Crown officer appointed was acceptable to the island's elected representatives.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
17 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, inflation on the Isle of Man has fallen to 0.9%. The latest government figures show the Consumer Prices Index dropped to 0.2% last month after standing at 1.1% in September. Internet subscriptions, children's outerwear and postage costs are among the areas to see the biggest price increases over the past 12 months, according to the report. Meantime, fruit, eggs and electrical appliances have fallen in price since October 2018. Elsewhere, EU member states, both in and outside the Eurozone, should admit the euro has been a strategic error. That sound like the words of Nigel Farage? Well, no, it's the governor of the National Bank of Hungary in an opinion piece in today's Financial Times. Hungary's followed a go-it-alone mix of economic policies since Prime Minister Viktor Orban rose to power in 2010. Is not member of the Eurozone, has no target date for euro adoption. The government and the central bank have said Hungary should not join the euro before its economy is sufficiently strong. The NBH governor, Georgi Mutaleski, says the time has come for Europe to seek a way out of the euro trap. Another high street name in trouble, greetings card chain Clinton's is considering shop closures and rent cuts as part of a survival plan. The retailer has about 2,500 staff and is in restructuring talks with landlords in another sign of high street chaos on mainland Britain. Clinton's was responding to reports on Sunday that it wanted to close 66 out of 332 shops with landlords slashing rents on most of the other stores.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Here's what's happening. These are the numbers around at the moment. The FTSE closed down almost 0.5% at 7,328 in Europe. The DAX in Frankfurt was down 0.25% at 13,198, spot 37. In America, the Dow Jones currently is down 0.1% at 27,645, spot 55. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index in New York, 8,051. Spot 1.6, up 0.3% in the S&P in Chicago, down 0.3% at 3,083, spot 6.2. There are 3023 commodities, and here are just two of them. On the commodities stage, Brent crude, $62.28 per barrel, down 0.3%. And gold currently is standing at $1,466.85 per ounce, down 1.1%. On the currency markets, the pound will currently get you €1, 16.53 cents, up 0.5%. And it's up just over 0.5% against the dollar at $1.2854.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
A chance to return to or try out the sport of squash this evening at the NSC. It's a free event taking place to encourage more people to take up squash. Players old and new were invited to get on court at the NSC from 6:30 this evening. Senior members from the Isle of Man Squash Racket Association will be on hand to answer any questions on how to become more involved in squash. The president, Les Callow, says it's a great opportunity for those who've always fancied picking up a racket.
From about 6:30 till 8:30, we'll have some free courts. We'll have a couple of coaches on duty. So anybody that wants to come down, more than welcome.
A real opportunity for people to find out if they've got the knack for squash.
Exactly. And if they have, then we'll certainly bring them on and encourage them to play.
Have we seen the squash community grow in numbers since Dave Norman's exploits at the Island Games, or has it remained pretty stable?
I'm glad you asked that question, because a couple of years ago, we struggled when we had competitions to get a 24 draw. Now, we're filling up with a 32 draw because that's what we limited at, and we've got reserves to come in. So, yeah, I think squash, certainly Dave is a role model for squash players anyways, and it encourages more people to play.
And those, I suppose, if they do come down on Monday to try out squash for the first time, or maybe they haven't picked up a racket in years, if they make a few relationships, a few friendships when they're down here on Monday, they're more than welcome to come down here and take in some competitive squash action.
Yeah, exactly. We have team squash running throughout the winter months, and the teams are always looking for new players. So, yeah, if anybody has a knack for playing squash, we'd certainly pick them up straight away.
We've talked about Dave Norman on numerous occasions, how he has been the best player on the Isle of Man for certainly the last two decades or more, possibly even ever. And today he's being put through his paces, really, by somebody who's got a very bright future in the sport.
Yeah, a young lad came over last week with Manx heritage. His name is Nathan Mead. His granddad, for anybody that remembers, used to run a sports shop in Ramsey, John Mead. Unfortunately, John is now in a care home and Nathan has come over to visit him. But yeah, Nathan is joining the PSA tour. He's already ranked 400 and something in the world, 18 years old, and he's now down on court with our best player, Dave Norman, just doing a few routines at the moment.
Manx Radio Sport.
If you're off tonight, it's on in a little less than 40 minutes' time. If you're off there, we wish you well.
From about 6:30 till 8:30, we'll have some free
Manx sport. Radio Sport. Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Well, here's what's happening on the Matrix signs tonight. The Sulby to the Mountain Matrix is showing a warning high winds Elsewhere, Hilbury to the mountain, the Matrix sign, again warning high winds across the island. Bagarra to the mountain, warning high winds. Ramsey to the mountain, warning high winds. At the airports, everything seems to be in and out okay, just maybe a little 10-minute departure that is late to Liverpool. The 10 past four went at 20 past four, and the London City 10 past five departed just about a minute late. But everything else is kind of okay at the airport. On the roads, King Edward Road, still got that temporary three-way traffic signals in operation to enable railway works. The Douglas Road in Ballas alibi blackboards, that's going on. Temporary two-way 24-hour signals in operation to enable service connections for that new housing estate and the Balthane bypass going in. The Curragh Road St John's, the Foxdale Road St John's, that is, closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenities site as well. Access to the tip is via the Hope. Glen Road in Laxey again, that closure between Rensall Hill, the Churchill Rensall Hill junction to the junction with Minorca Hill, no through traffic from the Churchill Rensall Hill area to Acacia Villa. Residents only access from Minorca Hill end of Glen Road, and Laxey of course is open for business during the closure. Westlands in Peel is closed to traffic for its entire length. Until the end of February, but certainly until the demolition, refurbishment and extension works completed. For your guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive summary of all the travel news and issues on the Manx Radio website for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks and a promenade at manxradio.com. And via our community tab, there's a page of links to 18 webcams across the island.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670-145. Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Well, the story goes on. The Education Minister says he'll continue to plan for a new swimming pool at Castle Rushen High School, despite proposals for a similar facility just up the road at King William's College. A private group applied for approval in principle to build a commercial sports centre at King William's College, including a four-lane, 50-metre pool. On Wednesday, this Wednesday, 13th, those behind the project will appear at a public meeting due to be held at Castletown Civic Centre from 7 o'clock. Graham Crajean, MHK, says his department will push on with a replacement southern pool as part of the new Castle Rushen High School development. He spoke to local Democracy reporter Ewan Gorn.
Well, what it means is that we're still going to push ahead with our plans towards a swimming pool at Castle Rushen, because what we can't do is we can't be without a swimming pool in the south of the island.
So there has to be a publicly owned regional pool, doesn't it?
No, we've got to push ahead with the plan. So we're going, because what I don't want is a situation where they've gone and come out with these plans, they've not been able to raise the money, or they can't
Do you think it might be unrealistic then?
I have to plan for it just in case it doesn't happen. Because if we went and said, oh yeah, that's going to happen, and didn't plan for it, if the pool was to close because it's passed its best before, then we'll get criticism for why didn't you plan for it. So we've got to plan just in case it doesn't get through. So the people coming forward with this, how are they going to raise the money for it? The other thing is how are they going to fund it for the year? So they're saying that it's not going to involve taxpayers or ratepayers' money. So how are they actually going to have that sustainable funding model for it?
They've said gym memberships and the rental from the shops.
Well, you know, when you're looking at the cost of one of those things, they're saying £6 million, raising £6 million to build it. I think they're optimistic, they're doing well, but you know, it's a steel clad building right next to King William's College. Is that the sort of... But, you know, when I spoke to Mr. Peake, he said, well, this is just an outline, this, so we can change it. So we don't know what it's actually going to look like. But what we have to do is we have to sort of plan just in case it doesn't go ahead. So we'll be trying to progress some plans as part of the new school development. Now, it may be a case that we build the school and the last thing to be built will be the swimming pool.
Will funding have to be achieved separately for those two things, or were you able to get funding from Treasury for all of them?
What we'll be looking for is we can get the funding for the school first, and then we can possibly go for the funding afterwards. The other one that I spoke to Mr. Peake about is, well, if they're going to raise some money, well, why don't we work together and we could actually have a fantastic venue at Castle Rushen High School, which is going to be like a public-private partnership. That's another thing that we've got to do.
What did they say to that?
Well, I think Mr. Peake was quite open to that idea, but you know, they've got that funding model. So we've got to see. As they've said, this is only in principle, so they've got no detail to this at the moment. So it's very difficult to sort of see where they're going. I think they're hoping that they can get the planning permission and then be able to go and sell that as a going concern.
Does it lead to uncertainty for the board of the Southern Swimming Pool, though? Because I know their future's yet to be decided. It's widely acknowledged that that pool needs to be either rebuilt or redone. Where does it leave them in terms of their planning? Because I suppose they're waiting for you to decide as well, because a lot of their funding comes from the department.
It does. And that's, you know, I'm going to have a meeting with them so we can discuss this. But, you know, like I said to you, we have to plan in case it doesn't go ahead. It would not be right for the south of the island not to have a pool. And, you know, my thing is, it's very close to the centre of Castletown. Why would you not want a facility right next to the centre of the town? Because then you've got that footfall that people may be going to the sports facilities and then they'll go into the Castletown to do some shopping. So it all fits together. As you know, that's the way I see it.
5 to 6 on Manx Radio, and our local democracy reporter Ewan Gorn will be on air after the 6 o'clock news headlines with Agenda, the Manx local political scene tonight after 6 o'clock. So can pigs fly? Well, pigs might not be able to fly, but they do help people fly in California. Absolutely true. At San Francisco International Airport, there's a program that brings therapy animals to the airport to cheer passengers up and ease travel anxieties. And a member of the so-called WAG Brigade is a therapy pig called Lilu, which is Lilu's dressed in a pilot's cap and sports bright red hoofs. The pig weaves in and out of the metal detector at the airport and trots by the departure gate. She's trained to raise a hoof in greeting, pose for selfies, and entertain departing passengers. This is absolutely true. She plays a toy piano. Apparently, Californians are very happy to get distracted from their travel routines, be it for holidays or work, eh? Only in California. Maybe we should try that at Ronald's Way. Thanks to producer Sarah Hendy tonight, the newsreader Dolan Mercer. I'm Andy Wynn, and Update is back tomorrow evening at 5:30 on Manx Radio. Have a great Monday night.